have both good news and bad news. Good news, in but just 4 or 5 days, come Friday, we begin a new year. In some ways, we look at that and it's a clean slate, everything's fresh. We start off with new ambitions, new goals, new desires of things to accomplish for the new year. It's often a time of great joy. It's a time of in a sense, feeling refreshed. But there's bad news right along with that. As Lord willing, as you go through that year, you face day after day, and you're going to have some of the same struggles and some of the same difficulties, some of the same problems, some setbacks probably that you have faced in the past, or maybe they might be new for you. That's not too big of a surprise to most of us. We know the new year comes, and we know that with it comes problems and comes difficulties. With that, I think about patience. Certainly in the life of a Christian. We begin thinking about how we could look at our lives, and maybe especially as we are older in life and maybe have lived the Christian life for a number of years. We think year in, year out, it's the same old thing. And so I want to go to the book of James, and particularly James chapter 5, and see James' instruction to the Christians here, be patient, brethren. And I think that's a great encouragement even for us this evening. You look at the book of James, and as he comes to chapter 5, he has been addressing here in verse 1 through 6 what appears to be some rich men, maybe even those here among the congregation, that have been troubling the other Christians. In fact, oppressing them, persecuting them in that fashion. And he has addressed them. He has shown them the error of their ways. He's encouraged them in that sense to change. Assured them that they would face the judgment of God for their actions. But now what I want to focus on as we come to verse 7. In light of all of that, in light of the discouragements that you're going to face, even among your own brethren, he's going to begin there in verse 7 and say, be patient, therefore, brethren. You're facing some hard times and some difficulties, whatever it might be. And yet you be patient. You continue in the work that you know is right. You continue walking in the ways that you know are right, regardless of the things that are going on around you. And he's going to use, I believe, here three very good examples that need to teach us the type of patience to be exhibited in the life of a Christian. And I want to begin with the idea of a farmer. Or rather, he begins with the idea of a farmer. Something many in this area are more familiar with than I am. But nevertheless, I know the process. And maybe you as a child even can remember thinking back to the days in school or the days as you began to learn about plants and how they grew. And you take that little seed and you put it into the ground. And maybe you came back early the next morning. He said, there's nothing there. Maybe later that day, and there's still nothing there. Maybe you've checked back a day or two later, and there's still nothing there. As a child, I can imagine, maybe I did this, probably many others, you're ready to pick up the cup and throw it away. That one must be dead. That one must not have worked. But yet, if we display patience, and we wait, we begin to see that little sprout that's coming up out of the ground, and we wait again days, and it begins flowering, whatever it is that we planted. Whether it be a flower, whether it be some other form of plant. It begins putting on leaves, it begins growing. And we begin to learn a little bit about patience. And as James is speaking to the Christian here, he says, you are going to have the patience even of a farmer. Let's read in verse 7 and 8. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Ye also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." He knows here, as he's writing to these groups of this group of Christians, he knows they're being oppressed. And yet he urges them, patiently remain faithful and be strengthened. God knows what you're going through. He knows the difficulties that you're facing in life. And he also knows they're not going to last forever. He knows possibly here one of two ideas he could be addressing. Either that the Lord is always near unto us, particularly in our times of troubles and our difficulties, or that we know as we go day by day, even moment by moment in this life, the end of this life and or the coming of Christ once again is ever nearer than it was before. The reward that we are longing for, that reward of faithfulness, is ever nearer than it was a few minutes ago. And that's going to give us some hope. It's going to give us some encouragement as we go through life. I'm going to remain faithful because I'm looking unto the end. If all I'm doing is looking right here and right now, it's likely I'm going to quit. It's like that child that's looking at the seed cup, and now that he has buried that seed, all he can see is the dirt. And as long as that dirt's there and he's not looking to the end, he's not looking for the hope and patiently waiting for that seed to sprout, and he wants to quit. He wants to give up. He'd be willing to throw it away and just forget about it. But yet James tells us we need to have that patience even of a farmer that is going to patiently endure, that is going to patiently wait even unto that coming of the Lord. That knows indeed there is a reward, there is a righteous judgment. We've looked at this before, but one could go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And they're going to have the encouragement here knowing that there's coming a day of judgment. A day in which Paul tells the Christians at Thessalonica, God will judge those that are oppressing you, and He will also judge you. And there's going to be a righteous reward that is given. He says in 2 Thessalonians 1, and we'll focus in on verse 6 and 7, he says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." He says there is a time when He's coming back. There's a time when He's coming back, and it's a time of judgment, and now those that have troubled you, God will trouble them. He'll be righteous in His judgments. He'll take vengeance on those who have stood against His will, those that have stood against His people. But we focus in also on verse 7. That to you who have been troubled, even the Christians here that James is writing to, you who have been oppressed, you're going to enjoy rest on that day. And so you need to continue faithfully. You need to continue patiently. And indeed, it's going to take patience. Oftentimes, patience is something we have to work at. We look around and we know people that, to varying degrees, have a level of patience. I know I'm not as patient as many other people. I see that weekly as I try to deal with my children. And I'm not nearly as patient as Priscilla is. She has a lot more patience in dealing with them than I do. I see it when I'm sitting at a red light and it doesn't change as fast as I would like it to. Patience is certainly nothing that comes naturally to me. But yet it's something as a Christian we have to work at. To have that patience, and particularly most importantly here, is he's looking at our faithfulness. Even though you're enduring these things, you continue faithfully because you know you're going to reap as you have sown. It's the same principle we've seen in other places. We could go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, where he again tells the Christians, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Just as that farmer patiently waits, he reminds us again that as he has sown, that shall he also reap. So we have to ask ourselves, what am I sowing in this life? Am I continue faithfully following the instructions of God? Am I continuing to live the life that He would have me to? Or am I quitting and turning back into the ways of the world? However it is that I have sown as I've gone through life, that I'm going to reap in return. And so there has to be that encouragement here as He says, I know you're oppressed, nevertheless you need to have patience. Is that not the instruction here of the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? As he instructs us, run with patience the race that is set before you. He looks back over, I believe, chapter 11, and he says, look at those that have previously run patiently before you. That should serve as a great encouragement for us. Great men and women of faith, such as Noah, such as Abraham, such as Moses, and so many more that are listed there throughout that chapter, that had to endure patiently. And so now he tells us, you also run with patience that race that is set before you. You continue in that Christian life, in that Christian walk. And remember, it's going to take endurance. And we need the instructions that Paul wrote to the Christians at Galatia, at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. James reminds the Christians in like manner, you remain patient. You endure the things that you are going through because you know it brings a great reward. I wish that as we look forward to a new year, we could look back and see that everything that we have done as we've gone through life, we could see all of its rewards. But we can't always. Look back on maybe some of the things that you've done even this year, and it'd be nice to know what all of the returns on those things were, but it doesn't always happen. I want to encourage us as we go into the new year, remember that just like that farmer that sows seed, that works, that labors, and patiently waits, so also we live the Christian life. We patiently wait for the reward that is promised unto us for that faithfulness. We work and we labor in the kingdom of God. We do that which we can to spread the gospel into our communities, into indeed the whole world. We don't always see immediate results. We don't always see that labor is paying off. But oftentimes that labor indeed is paying off in ways we may never know. In ways that we may find out later about. I think it wasn't having any impact when we were passing out flyers about a gospel meeting. We think it wasn't having any impact when we had a religious conversation and helped show somebody a Bible answer. I think it wasn't having any impact when I was working with some kids in the community, or I was doing something for the congregation, and yet years later we find out that had a great impression on somebody, had some effect on somebody. And so indeed, there's, I believe, another example of patiently waiting, continuing laboring as a Christian, knowing that all of that work, all of that labor is never in vain, even if we never see the rewards of it in this life. We know the rewards in eternity are definitely worth that labor and that reward. So have the patience of a farmer that waits for the return on his investment, but also have the patience of the prophets. Look in verse 9 and 10 of James chapter 5. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Here are a group of people that we can look to, and we see great endurance, great patience, even in the face of great persecution. even in the face of having to risk their lives. He says, learn an example from them. Treat one another properly, he begins to tell them here in verse 9. What's interesting about this is you look back in the beginning of the chapter, remember verse 1 through 6 is about people that haven't been treating them properly. He says, but you, brethren, regardless of what others are going to do, you treat others properly. You do that which is right. The oppressors are going to be judged for their actions. You need to remember that you will be as well. And oftentimes we might like to think about those that maybe have in some sense persecuted us, maybe ridiculed us in some way. We like maybe to think about the idea of God having them in judgment. But do we remember that we're going to be there as well? He's reminding them the problems you're facing in life, God indeed, He's going to take care of them. You don't worry about them. You treat others as you know you should be treating them. Because remember, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Oh yes, those that have done bad, those that have done evil and wickedness, they're going to stand in judgment. But so is all of the world. So you make sure that you can stand in judgment for the things that you have done that are good. For the things that you have done that you can be proud of. The things that you have done that you've known are according to God's Word. Because we're reminded, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He needs to remind them, and we need to be reminded, that God sees it all. He sees the oppression. He sees the difficulties and troubles that others are giving unto them. But God also sees the life that they're living. He sees the choices they're making and knows what they are doing. And so, this needs to comfort us. That yes, God knows what I'm enduring. He knows what I'm going through. But it needs to challenge us as well. Make sure I'm living the way that is right. Make sure I'm doing those things that I should do. And he said, as an example to that, or as maybe to back that up, you treat others right. Think about the prophets. Think about those that we read about in the Old Testament that tried to their very extent to do that which was right even in the face of great opposition. I mean, here were men that were sent out by God to go unto sometimes heathen nations, didn't want to hear the message, but sometimes, most often, unto their own brethren according to the flesh that didn't want to hear them either. And not just closed their ears and walked away, but violently threatened them. As Stephen is giving his defense before the council in Acts chapter 7, he looks at them in verse 51 and verse 52. Speaking to the Jews here in general, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers." Stephen looks at this group of people assembled here and he says, look back. Look at all the prophets that God sent to this nation. Look at how He pleaded with you. And which of those prophets did your fathers not slay? He said, now you've done the same thing. They've prophesied of the Christ that was to come. Now He's come into the world and shown you who He was, and you sent Him to the cross. You crucified Him. You're continuing in the same thing you and your fathers have always done. That was the kind of treatment that the prophets had received. Think back, we talked a minute ago about those of great faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And as he is drawing to a close there, he's going to say in verse 36 and verse 38, of the prophets that have gone before, those people of faith, and what did they face? He He said they faced trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. He says that's what they endured. And yet, notice something, they remained faithful. And not only did they remain faithful unto God, that's encouraging enough, but they continued in love even for those that were rejecting them. And maybe the one that comes to my mind more than any other is Jeremiah. And here is Jeremiah the prophet. And I know Jeremiah must have been tempted at times to quit. I know his patience was tested. In fact, his patience was strained. And yet, in this one occasion, he's going to say, because of that, he made up his mind, I'm not going anymore. I quit. Here I am going out day after day before this rebellious nation. They won't listen to me. What's the point? I'm just going to quit. He said, on one occasion, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He sat down. That's it. But he didn't last very long. He would continue in that same verse, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I had to go. I had God's word within my heart, and it was the word which God's people needed to hear. So he didn't stay there very long. His patience was tried, yes. But he went back out. A man that cried and wept over this nation. A man that tried to go out and get them to see the error of their ways, to turn back to God, and yet time and time again they refused. We see him in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. He's pleading with them, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. He says in verse 17 of that same chapter, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken. And again in Jeremiah 44 and verse 16, they would respond unto Jeremiah, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Here was Jeremiah that kept trying, that kept pleading with his nation. And not only did they blatantly say to his face, we will not hearken unto you, we will not listen to the word of the Lord that you are speaking before us. They tried to kill Jeremiah, and yet he still was pleading with them. He was still encouraging them to be faithful. Can you imagine how hard it must have been to continue showing that measure of love and faithfulness before this rebellious people? And yet he was patient even in this face of death. That's a great lesson for us. Even though there are those around us that will not heed, they're going to mock us, they're going to mistreat us, they're going to oppress us, they may threaten us, they may persecute us. Yet nevertheless, I'm going to be faithful unto God. Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, we may go through difficulties. We may go through some struggles. We may have our patience and our faithfulness tested as we go through the year. Remember the prophets. Remember the prophets who were put through such great tests and such great rejection even by their own people. And yet they were faithful unto God. Yet they still did that which was right. Let that be an example to us. And then as he closes that section, he says, remember also the patience of Job. One that endured, that had patience to keep on going, even as trials were going on all around him. He was a man that lost everything. He lost possessions, he lost family, he lost health. And yet he displayed great patience. Go back to James 5, verse 11 and 12. He says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but ye let your yea be yea and your nay nay, yes, lest you fall into condemnation." He says, think about Job. He went through all of those trials. He went through all of the difficulties. And yet he was patient. He endured. The Bible says his latter end was better than his beginning. You come to the end of the book of Job and you can read in Job 42 and verse 10, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Here's Job. One that was going to be faithful unto God, even though it seemed like things were going wrong all around him. He was displaying great patience for us because others all around him were saying, "Give up. Just quit." His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His friend said, "Surely, Job, you must be a wicked man. You must have done some great sin to bring this upon yourself." And yet through it all, Job was going to remain in faithfulness and in trust to God. He would say on one occasion in Job 13 and verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Even though he didn't have an answer for everything that was going wrong and everything that was going on in his life, he said, "I'm going to trust in God." Another occasion earlier in the book, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1:21. I don't think Job always understood everything that was going on. There are times he said some things of which he didn't have knowledge and understanding. But yet that example for us is he maintains his confidence in God. He maintains his trust and his faith in God. No matter what happens, no matter what others say to us or do to us in this life, we must have the patience of Job and endure to the end. Because we know that latter end is greater than this life. Paul would be able to say to the Romans, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I don't care what I face in this life. I'm going to patiently endure it in faithfulness to God because I know the reward is going to be well worth it. I wish I could say that as we go into a new year, it's going to be free of trouble, free of financial problems, free of physical problems, health problems, family problems, all sorts of struggles and difficulties. But I can't. You're probably going to face at least some of those things. And yet, think about Job. Think about him who was going to be patient and faithful no matter what happened to him in life. These are three great examples of people that were faithful unto God. People that were patient and endure. We think about the farmer who was willing to wait patiently in order to reap the reward. We think about the prophets who were rejected, mistreated, killed because they were doing what was right. And yet they maintained their faith and their trust in God. You think about Job, who also in like manner went through great difficulties. And he said, "Through it all, I will trust him." Can we have that same faith? We have that same trust in God. Can we display that same patience as we go through this year? We need to think about these examples when we're up against those problems, when we're up against those difficulties. James says, "I know you're being mistreated. I know you're being oppressed. I know you're going through difficulties. Be patient, therefore, my brethren. Continue to endure, continue to be faithful even unto God. We know we can patiently wait for our reward, and that's the encouragement we need to get from Him. As we go through this life, or especially as we look forward to this new year, determine, even tonight, I'm going to be faithful unto God. I'm going to continue laboring. I'm going to continue doing that which is right, no matter what others do around me. No matter what my friends, no matter what my family, no matter what others around me may do, no matter what they may say to me, no matter the circumstances I go through, I'm going to be faithful to God. That when I reach the end of my life, whenever that might be, I'll be able to look back even as Paul did. And I'll be able to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. We'll be able to say that if we display the faith or the patience of a farmer, the patience of the prophets, and even the patience of Job. Will you make that decision tonight? Maybe even there's someone here tonight that needs to make other decisions. Decisions to not continue patiently, but to first obey the gospel in the first place. To be baptized even tonight after we have repented of our sins, confessed Christ, that our sins are washed away, that we're added into that body that is looking forward to that eternal home. With that hope, with that expectation, with that patience that's going to endure through the struggles and the trials of this life. Maybe there's someone even that says, I haven't had that patience, I've quit, I've given up, and yet I want to continue. I want to continue patiently, faithfully as I go through life, that I can have that reward. Even as those great prophets, even as Job, that were richly rewarded for their patience. Do you need to make or respond to that invitation even tonight? If so, we encourage you as we stand and as we sing this song, won't you let that be known? And certainly as we go through this year, determine, I'm going to have that kind of patience. The patience that a Christian needs to have. Won't you come as we stand and sing?